This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. Today is actually a really special day for the I Love Success podcast because this is our 50th episode. What started as an idea has now become the start of a movement. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and that is why I'm so grateful of having all these unbelievable guests on my podcast. Entrepreneurs, fighters, astronauts, Olympians, Guinness World Record holders, 9/11 survivors, New York Times bestsellers, Navy SEALs, and many more have all shared their story on my podcast. I also want to reach out to you. Yes, you. You're my listener, and without you, I couldn't do this. Thank you for listening and sharing. Thank you for having the courage of going after your dreams. Cheers to the next 50 episodes. Are you ready? Because here we go. But before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Heston's Beds in Los Angeles. Heston's has always been driven by a passion for sleep and the many benefits it brings for the body and soul. Sleep on a Heston's bed is sleep that makes a difference in the quality of your life. Sleep that allows you to function at your optimal best, a natural process that cannot be replicated, bought over a counter, or swallowed in a pill. A Heston's bed is defined by its comfort and support, breathability, and the ability to regulate your body's temperature while you sleep. While many beds contain a variety of chemicals, glues, latexes, and foam, Heston's beds are handcrafted with exclusively all-natural materials to create the perfect night's sleep. If you're serious about success, you should be serious about your sleep, and Heston's can help you. Check them out at hestonsla.com. Let's celebrate the 50th episode of the I Love Success podcast with an amazing guest with an amazing story. 2014, at age 33, today's guest was a struggling fighter working morning shifts at a local coffee shop from 3 to 9 a.m. just so he could focus on his training the rest of the day. Just as he was about to give up on his dream and move on to other things, he got the call from UFC president Dana White to jump in on the UFC 170 main card and fighting the future light heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier. The rest is history, and now 3 years later, he has established himself as a top contender in the UFC, currently ranked number 10 in the world as a light heavyweight. This is not a movie. This is the real deal, a real Rocky saga. The name behind the journey is Patrick Durkin Cummings. Welcome, Patrick.
Hey, good to be here.
How was that introduction?
That was good. You covered it. I don't need to say anything now.
We're done, right? We can get out of here. So I'm so glad that you're here. And let's cut to the chase. Who is Patrick Cummings?
Oh, man, that can be answered so many different ways. I guess I'm known as a fighter now, but I feel like I've had, I'm the kind of guy that lives kind of a bunch of different lives, and I think it shows. A lot of people from different walks of life know me as a certain thing, and but as I said, most people know me as a fighter.
Yeah. And I think being a fighter has so many things behind it, right? So can we just start talking a little bit about growing up? It's called Doylestown.
I was born in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. So yeah. that's but I'd say about an hour outside of Philadelphia. Yeah. I didn't spend a whole lot of time there. I actually did most of my, I kind of bounced around as a kid, but I grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is home of the Amish. People know it by. So, it was a great place to grow up, and I had the opportunity to get a lot of different influences and just test things out. When you're a kid, you just kind of you test things and you find what's yours and you go with it. So, I grew up. My dad was the principal of my high school, which I think a lot of people are like, Man, I can't imagine. I can't imagine going to school and like being under wraps all the time. So you know, I never got to skip school. I never got to get in trouble because my dad would kill me. But you know, I was a typical like athletic kid. You know, I played three sports. I played football, wrestling, and track. And but I, you know, I was into everything. I was just totally into everything. I never. You know, I think kids nowadays, especially in sports, they, you know, they're pushed to focus on one sport and make it to college, you know, put all their energy into, especially wrestlers nowadays. They just, all they do is wrestle year round. And, you know, it's not surprising that they get sick of it. And I ended up choosing wrestling, but I did so many different sports and I didn't limit myself, but by doing that, I was a little bit behind, you know. So I wasn't the best wrestler, but I enjoyed the challenge of it, and it was, you know, I just felt like this is the hardest sport, and I feel like I'm the kind of guy that I can push myself and make things happen. So in the end, I chose wrestling, and I was lucky enough to have an older brother. So, you know, you kind of learn the ropes from your older brother. He makes the mistakes and you learn from it and move on from there. So, but he was actually a better wrestler than I was in high school. He was, I think he took fourth place at States. You know, Pennsylvania States is kind of a big deal. And I made it to States once and I went 0-2. You know, I just lost. I was terrible. But I was still learning. So, but my brother then went on to wrestle at Penn State, and he actually got recruited and did the whole thing. So as his freshman, he was just a year older than me. So his freshman year, he kind of paved the way for me, and the coaches really saw him as, man, this guy's really working hard. We like this type of guy on our team. And, you know, they kind of said, well, maybe we'll give his brother a shot, even though, you know, he wasn't performing like his brother did. So I was lucky enough to I took the last spot on the team as a walk-on in college and at Penn State University. And, man, I was like in over my head, you know, like I didn't know what I was getting into because it was just, I mean, the best guy, you know, you grow up, and you know, your heroes of whatever sport you're doing, you know, you see them and you look up at them and just think, man, these are the guys. These, like, wow. And you don't equate yourself with them, you know, but really they're your peers, you know, but you set them up so high. So you know, I remember coming into school, like our first meeting, and just kind of looking around the room like, oh my gosh, like these are some of the best wrestlers. Like I've seen these guys wrestle and oh my gosh, they're all so good. And I think we had the number 8 ranked recruiting class that year. So we had a ton of good guys, and a lot of them were local, you know, Pennsylvania guys. So I knew most of them. And
yeah, so there you are, the beast. People get respect. Yeah.
I'm starting to win. I'm starting to string wins together. And I'm like, man, I'm feeling great. Yeah. And so that year went really well for me. I beat some big name guys, and I ended up doing well. But there were still a couple guys that I couldn't beat. And that, you know, it was funny because I was content, you know, I felt great, like, man, I'm winning matches, but man, it wasn't good enough. You know, I wanted to beat everybody. And I went back to what Coach Hart had said, you know, when I was a freshman. This is the guy, Tommy Rollins, this is the guy you're gonna have to beat if you wanna be a national champ. And so I didn't tell you this, but that match when I was a freshman, he beat me by 14 points, which is like, you're just getting slaughtered, you know? And 15 points, if you beat someone by 15 points, they call it a technical fall. Like they'll stop the match and say, you know, you're getting smoked here, kid. You know, get out of here. So, and that's almost worse than getting pinned, you know, because you're just like, this guy's just putting a clinic on me. So the very first time I wrestled him, I got beat by 14 points. Then I wrestled him, you know, I wrestled him, I'd say two or three times every year. And I just very slowly started, you know, inching closer and closer. You know, I was losing by, okay, I only lost by 10 points that time. You know, I only lost by 8 points. Eventually, when I was a junior, I wrestled, you know, it had been 3 years at that point. And I had a really close match with them early in the year. And, you know, I ended up losing by 2 points, something like that. And then in the dual meet, they were Ohio State came and wrestled us at Penn State. And I beat Tommy Rollins, you know? And I remember thinking, this is the greatest moment of my life, you know? Like, I finally did what Coach said, you know? And I think back at that time, and I can't remember what my state of mind was. You know, I can't remember what was going through my head. Like, how did I do this? You know, because you know, I've been competing forever since then. And I, you know, sometimes when I'm going through a rough time, I'll think, well, you know, I did this once before. How did I do it? And I honestly can't think. Like, I don't remember what was going through my mind at that time. But it was almost like I was just in like robot mode. You know what I mean? I was just like, I was on a mission, and like I had blinders on, and all I could see was what was in front of me, and it was my goal. And I wanted that so bad. And I don't remember feeling nervous. You know, like all these things, like you don't remember it.
I get it. Like, yeah. I had like the same antagonist, like a guy from a city. I met him. He always won against me. And then I met him in junior Swedish championship in the final. And he always used to beat me. But this time I won with 5-0, which is pretty good. And I don't remember what happened, you know. Honestly, you know, I don't remember what I know now when I think back, but that moment, it was like I was almost on autopilot.
Right.
I don't know.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's like, I can't remember how it went, but it just, everything was going well. Yeah. And you're just like, I think it's just, it has to do with, you know, you at that point, your skill sets are probably equal, you know, but it's just a matter of who wants it more.
Wants it more, yeah.
And when you're in that mode, you know, you're just like, you're just going for it. And there's nothing, you just feel like nothing's going to stop you.
It's also like, I think being that underdog is also a great thing, because basically you have nothing to lose, right? So just, I'm going to give my all. And it's so cool when those things happen, when preparation opportunity meets and you can perform and get into that so-called flow, and it just happens, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like, I mean, I look back at that match and I'm like, you know, because I always question, like, what was I doing? Like, how did I do that? Because, you know, I still had, that was early in the year, and you know, I still had the postseason to go through, and I think I ended up losing to him again that year. In the postseason, but I placed fourth at NCAAs, which, you know, gives you, you know, you're an All-American when you do that. Yeah. So that was, you know, that was great, and a lot of people were like, "Man, that's awesome! Like, I can't believe what you achieved." And all I could think is, I don't want, that's not what I wanted. You know, I wanted to win. I felt like this was my time to win, and I was ready to do it. And I remember just being really, really upset after my last match, just like, it just wasn't good enough. And it's funny, like, where your standards go, you know, if I would step back and look at it all, yeah, like right now, I would be like, well, hell, that's pretty good for a kid, yeah, that didn't know what the hell he was doing, like, coming into this, you know?
But not in that moment, right? You wanted to be number one.
Man, yeah, like, you just, you know, you have those blinders on, and all you see is your goal. And when you don't get there, man, it hurts. So, Tommy Rollins and I became this rivalry, and it was funny because he was the number one recruit in the country. you know, coming in on the same year that I came in, and I was a nobody. And he, so he's the talented guy that just knows how to win, and I'm just the dude that just, you know, I'm the blue collar guy that's just like working, being ugly, and just like finding a way to win. But then, you know, we became a rivalry, and it was so weird because, like, you just, I never would have thought that that's where I'd be. You know, it's just, it was so weird. So we, you know, we went back and forth that my senior year, we went back and forth a bunch of times, and I won some, he won some. And then, you know, you set it up for national finals. We're both seniors and we're both in the finals, you know, like we're going to find out who's going to be the best right now. And, man, I didn't have it that day, you know? And like he beat me, and it hurt bad. Cause you know, it was a guy, you know, I remember thinking back, my coach was like, if you want to be a national champion, you got to beat this guy. And it was true. And I remember, well, I beat this guy, you know, yeah. I beat him before, like this should, you know, why couldn't I beat him at the right time? Yeah. And it messed with my head. But looking back on it, I'm kind of glad for it, because I think achieving your goal is kind of dangerous sometimes, because I had, you know, especially looking back, you know, that was in 2004, yeah. And you know, it's 2017 right now. Like I feel like if I would have achieved that goal at that time, I would have been completely content with what I did. And I would set that on the shelf and, you know, and just go on with my life in a totally different direction. Yeah. And, but I think losing that match, it pushed me to keep going, you know? And I was like, I gotta make this happen. I need to meet a goal, you know, whatever my next goal is going to be, I need to meet it. Cause I feel unfulfilled.
Yeah. I think also, like, I've learned some of the best lessons when I've lost, actually. And especially when you lose in that moment, like losing in a final, you have the eyes are on you. It's like you're a senior. It's like you're putting everything on the line, right? And you did what you could, but in your head, you're still falling short. This doesn't matter if your coach pats you on the back and says, yeah, well done. Yeah. No, because you wanted that. And I know when I did that, it's so hard because it takes a lot of time to process in your mind. But once you do process it, I think for me, it was a fire, you know, that made me perform better than I ever performed before. Yeah. And it gave me a drive, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, you think about your whole, you know, when you are the underdog, you're, you know, you're coming up through the ranks, you've lost a lot of times. You know, you've had a lot of losses on your belt, and if that doesn't push you to be better, you know what I mean? Then I don't think you're gonna make it to that point. You know, you're not gonna get to your highest level, because, you know, if you just think, oh well, I lost. I mean, I'm sure you were the exact same way. When you lose, it's like, it's the end of the world, you know, because you, like you said, you're putting everything into it, and it's just, all you can focus on is just being the best and winning, you know, winning that match is all that you care about. And when it doesn't happen, it's devastating. It's really devastating.
And it's crazy for guys like us. I think we're similar in that way. You know, for me, I wasn't supposed to be a national team member. I wasn't supposed to be a national champ or a world medalist. It was pure hard work and almost being too stubborn and too stupid, right? And maybe it's the same for you. You weren't supposed to even be in the finals, but you did it with pure hard work. But still, your mindset is so strong that, like, when you're there, you forget about all that. I'm going to win now. And I think that is such a cool attitude to have in life, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because, like, people on the outside looking in, I mean, they'll think, wow, man, I can't believe this guy achieved that. That's great. And, you know, you're looking at it as, you know, like, why? Like, I was this close. Like, this is not what I want. And, you know, you're upset. Everybody else is like, man, great job. That was awesome.
Man, the first competition I ever did was in Stockholm as a 15-year-old. I started very late, and I actually won that competition. But I think it was only five people in my division. So I came home to the airport, and my parents, my father is my coach, they came with flowers. I was so pissed off, you know? I was like, what is this? Crazy. I was so... Now, like... I realized that wasn't a good way of seeing life.
Yeah, it was that's a bad reaction.
That's a very bad reaction, but that's how hard I was on myself.
Yeah.
And of course, you have to evolve because otherwise you're going to end up like being miserable. But it's kind of funny when I look back, like, wow, what a reaction, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. But I'm sure, like, you know, you've had your setbacks, and I'm sure it pushed you on. Yeah. You know, you continued with your career because you weren't satisfied, right?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And like, I think there's a quote said, when you win, you celebrate. When you lose, you ponder. And like, a lot of times, I don't know if you had this on competition, guys will come up to you and like, hey, Patrick, this and that. We wrestled that. You don't remember that because it was like an easy matchup for you. But they probably analyzed you for hours and hours. So they actually developed more, right? And it's kind of funny to see that. So I think that it is not always good to win. And that's why we challenge ourselves, you know, to go on to bigger things. And that's why when you become a national champion, you go to the national team and you go to the world championship because you want to excel. And I think people in everyday life that are not athletes, they need the same thing. If you're too comfortable, you can't grow. And if you don't grow, you die, right? Simple as that. So thank you so much, Pat, for being here. It's an honor for me to having you here because I remember when I saw that story, I said, this guy is the real deal. And now talking with you, getting to know you even more, it's so much more behind that little story, right? This is a life in the making. It's so cool. So thank you so much for that.
Of course. And I'm happy to be here on the 50th episode of the podcast.
Yeah, cool. It's a great celebration. It was the perfect guest for this episode. And I want to thank you guys for listening in. And again, a big thanks to our sponsor, Hestens Beds in Los Angeles. Hestens will change the way you sleep forever with the finest beds, mattresses, and bedding accessories in the world. If you're serious about success, you should be serious about your sleep. Check them out at HestensLA.com. And if you like this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends and family, because to achieve this goal, we need a tribe of people that help each other out and make sure that we go after our dreams. Thanks again, guys, and see you soon.